台之音服务员一聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年8月19日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到了 Radha Trump 为我们继续讲解《永恒的解散念经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai
Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Dama Dama Hare Hare
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 22 The Process of Devotional Service
我们今天继续来阅读永恒的解散念经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥第22章奉爱服务的程序
Speaking this morning from Shrida Mayapur
今天早上我们是在 Shrida Mayapur 向大家直播
It is still night time here 4:30 in the morning
现在是四点半外面还是漆黑一片
And we can hear from the other homes around us that Mangalati has begun
然后我们旁边的邻居已经开始蒙格拉提了
So this is the time of the day that devotees beginTheir activities serving Krishna.
那每天早上的这个时候，奉献者们已经开始为 Krishna 做奉献服务了。
And this time of the day before sunrise is called Brahma Muhurta.
在这个日出之前的这段时间被称为 Brahma Muhurta.
This is the time before sunrise, which is most auspicious for spiritual activities.
那么这个时间呢，也就是说，在日出之前的这一段时间是特别的吉祥的，对于我们的灵性的进步特别有利。
So reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita at this time of the day is very auspicious.
所以呢，在一天的这个时候开始去阅读 Chaitanya Charitamrita 是特别的吉祥的。
We also pray that each of you had a memorable celebration of Sri Krishna Janamashtami and Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja.
那么我们也祈祷大家刚刚度过了非常难忘的 Sri Janamashtami Krishna 显现日以及 Srila Prabhupada Vyasa Puja 显现日。
These are the two most important festivals that devotees must celebrate.
这两个节日对于奉献者来说是特别的重要的，就是奉献者们应当是非常隆重的去庆祝。
And next week,We are celebrating the appearance of Srimati Radharani.
那下一周呢，我们就要一起来庆祝 Srimati Radharani 的显现日了。
So this is another great opportunity to be engaged in practical devotional service.
所以呢，到了下星期的这个 Radhashtami 呢，又是大家能够聚在一起，做一些非常实际的奉献服务的机会。
So next Wednesday, we will give a special class on the appearance of Srimati Radharani.
那下周礼拜三，我们会在Radharani 的这个显现日上面给大家一堂特别的课程。
So now we going back to the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
现在让我们回到 Chaitanya Charitamrita.
And in the last lecture, we began to read.The presentation by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
上一周呢，我们就开始读到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所讲的话。
Of the different aspects of devotional service that a devotee must follow.
他呈现了奉献者们应当追随的奉爱服务的各个方面。
There are 64 items.
所以他提到了有64项。
And they are integral part of the devotee's daily life.
这些呢都是奉献者每一天生活不可分割的一部分。
At the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, the devotee must practice because of conditioning different rules and regulations.
那在我们奉献服务的起步的阶段，奉献者呢，因为必须要去追随一些规范原则。
Until the devotee reaches the platform of spontaneity.
然后呢，随着这个规范修习的深入，直到奉献者达到一个自然而发的一个状态。
Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple example.
Srila Prabhupada 呢，给了一个非常简单的一个比喻。
At the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we have to drag our feet, literally speaking, out of the bed, into the shower, to get dressed, to put tilak on, and to attend Mangala Arati.
就是在我们 Krishna 知觉一开始的时候，我们不得不每天一大清早就把自己从床上拖起来，然后拖着脚步进去这个沐浴，穿上干净的衣服，涂上这个tilak， 然后去参加早上的吉祥灯仪 Mangalarti。
And we take this as an austerity.
然后我们觉得这些就是苦行了。
Now devotees in China don't live in temples.
中国的奉献者们不是居住在庙里的。
So I don't know how many devotees actually get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day.
我不知道有多少奉献者每天早上是四点钟起床的。
How many actually take a shower, wear clean clothes, and put tilak on?
我也不知道有多少人早上起来之后就是会净身沐浴，穿上干净的衣服，甚至涂上 tilak。
And how many actually perform Mangalarti?
我也不知道有多少人早上是做这个清晨的 Mangalarti 的。
But this is something the devotee should do every day.
但是我想这是奉献者每天都应该做的。
So, Srila Prabhupada once told one of his servants that at least devotees should be up after 4 o'clock, before sunrise, take a shower, wear clean clothes, and engage in some spiritual activities, which in our case is mostly chanting japa or performing arti to the deities.
Srila Prabhupada 有次跟他的门徒说，至少呢，奉献者应当做到这一点，就是在早上的时候，在日出之前啊，大概四点钟应该要起床，然后呢，就是要去这个沐浴，穿上干净的衣服，然后涂上 tilak， 然后呢。Tilak is a must or not?
If you can't wear tilak with clay, you should wear water tilak by chanting the different names of Vishnu.
那这个 tilak 呢，就是如果是你有圣仪的话，那你就涂实际的这个 tilak。那如果说没有圣仪的话呢，那至少要用这个清水在身体的不同的部位涂上这个 tilak， 一边念诵主的这个圣名。那么然后呢，就应当去做一些这个灵性的活动。那对我们大多数人来而言的话，那就是念诵 japa， 早上呢在念珠上的念诵。那么有的呢可能还有这个早上的 Mangalarti 吉祥灯仪。
So this is no doubt, this is an austerity of the body and an austerity of the mind.
那毫无疑问，对于我们的躯体和心意来说，这的确是称得上是苦行。
And we see it as an austerity because we are forcing ourselves.
我们之所以把它称为苦行，是因为我们觉得好像是在强迫自己这么去做。
We know it's good and we enjoy it to some extent.
我们知道这个是非常好的，所以呢，我们就某种程度上来说还是非常喜欢这么去做的。
But the difference between sadhana bhakti in practice and spontaneous devotional service,
但是呢，就是在这种规范的这种修习 sadhana bhakti 和这个自然而发的这个修习当中还是有这个区别的。
Is that on the spontaneous platform?We can't wait to get up, and as a matter of fact, we may not even sleep very much because we are always engaged in serving Krishna.
那如果到达了这个自然而然的那个境界的时候，那意味着我们根本就等不及起床。事实上，我们就是一直是在做这个奉献服务的一个状态里的。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first wants to teach Sanatan Goswami that there are different things that the practicing devotee should do in order to become purified and in order to gain a taste for pure bhakti.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就是对 Sanatan Goswami 说呢，有一些事情呢，对于奉献者来说是必须要去做的。当他们进行了这样的规范修习之后，他们才能够净化自己，然后对这个 bhakti 奉爱有那么一丝的品类。
Srila Prabhupada often calls this the reformatory process.
Srila Prabhupada 呢，经常说这是一个革新的。
So we began to read some of them last time, but because it's been a while, I want to return to these particular items.
那么我们在两周之前已经给大家读过了这些不同的这个项目。那因为已经有一段时间隔得比较长了，所以我们想今天重新再把它读一下。
So from the first one.
那我们先从最前面开始。
Guru Parashraya Diksha Guru Rasevana Sad Dharma Shiksha Prishcha Sadhu Marganu Bhagavana. On the path of regulated devotional service, one must observe the following. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master. Two, one must accept initiation from him. Three, one must serve him. Four, one must receive instruction from the spiritual master.And make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. 5. One must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master.
这个是第一条，就是说在规范的奉爱服务的路途上，一个人应当要遵循以下几点：一，必须要接受一位真正的灵性导师。必须从他那里接受启迪。第三，一个人必须要服务于灵性导师。第四，应当从灵性导师那里接受训育，并为了学习奉爱服务而向他寻以疑难。五，必须要追随过往的 Acharya 们的步伐，遵循灵性导师的指导生活。
So,Accepting a bona fide spiritual master, this is something which is vital to devotional service.
就是接受一位真正的灵性导师，这对于一个奉献者的奉爱人生来说是必不可少的。
And the very first thing that we hear about when we come in contact with the devotees is Srila Prabhupada.
那么当我们接触了 Krishna 知觉之后，我们首先所接触到的就是 Srila Prabhupada.
This is the most important investment that any new person can make.
那就是每一个新的这个奉献者呢，应当要把这个精力投入到对 Srila Prabhupada 的了解之中，这是一种非常重要的投入。
This is something that we will never emphasize enough.
这一点我们怎么强调都不为过。
All the devotees who come to this Krishna consciousness movement must take full shelter of Srila Prabhupada.
加入到 Krishna 知觉当中的每一个人都应当全然的皈依于 Srila Prabhupada, 托庇于 Srila Prabhupada.
And accept him as their spiritual master.
那把 Srila Prabhupada 当作自己的灵性导师。
And accepting means taking full shelter.
这个接受的意思就是说全然的托庇于 Srila Prabhupada.
Now to take shelter in someone, it means you got to know the person.
那么托庇这两个字对某些人意味着就是你要去了解对方。
So this is done by reading his books.
那么怎么去了解他呢？就要去阅读他的书。
By following his instructions.
去追随他所给予的训谕
By studying his personal life,
去了解他的生平,
and to understand his mission.
然后呢,去理解他的使命。
This is something that all the devotees, young and old, should know by heart.
这就是每一个奉献者,不管老少,都应当在内心中,铭刻记忆的。
And there is no question of becoming attached to any other guru before we have complete firm attachment to Srila Prabhupada.
就是说你在完全的就是坚定的托庇于 Srila Prabhupada 之前去托庇于其他的灵性导师这是根本不可能的。
And I say this, as a very strong point for a good reason.
我之所以如此的强调这一点是有充分的理由的。
Srila Prabhupada is not just another guru in the disciplic succession.
Srila Prabhupada 并不是我们的这个使徒传系当中的一位普普通通的灵性导师。
He is an empowered acharya.
他是一位被赋予了能量的 acharya.
Who has achieved what no other acharya has achieved to date.
那么这是历史他的成就是在历史上任何一个 acharya 们都无法比拟的。
And without whom none of us would be able to practice Krishna consciousness today.
如果没有他的话我们今天谁也无法修习 Krishna 知觉。
So it is so important to get to know Srila Prabhupada inside out.
所以呢要彻底的去了解 Srila Prabhupada 是重中之重。
Now, in the Chinese Yatra, we have not even completed translating all of his books.
在这个中国的这个 Yatra, 我们现在还没有把他的著作全都翻译完成。
And we don't have access in the Chinese language to Srila Prabhupada's letters.
另外我们也没有办法看到 Srila Prabhupada 的中文版的信件。
He wrote almost 3,000 letters.
他几乎是写了得有3000封信。
And they are available in a book form.
那么他的这些书信呢已经是集结成书了。
And they are all classified by year and by topics.
而且呢是通过这个时间还有主题都分门别类了。
We have no access to the recording of all his lectures.
还有呢他所有的这个录制的那些讲座我们也没有机会听到。
We have no access to the recording of his morning walk conversations.
还有这个清晨的漫步对话，这个部分我们的也没有中文版的。
We have no access to the recording of his room conversations.
还有那个室内谈话，也有很多很多这个录音，我们也没有中文版的可以去听。
And there is no translation of all the different interviews that were made.Of his disciples' recollections of their relationship with him.
还有就是之后他的那些门徒曾经被采访，讲过很多和施拉帕布帕联谊交往的那些时光。那么，这些呢也都是有一些文字的，但是我们现在也没有中文版，所以没有办法了解到。
So to me, this is a great worry.
对我来说我觉得是一个非常值得担忧的问题。
And I think something should be done to have all these amazing body of knowledge translated into the Chinese language.
我觉得我们应当要把这些了不起的这些知识都能够翻译成中文。我觉得这一点呢是至关重要的。
And to make this actually compulsory study.
然后呢成为大家的一个必读内容。
There are also a large number of videos that devotees can watch of Srila Prabhupada's life.
还有关于 Srila Prabhupada 生活的大量的视频。
But again, there are no Chinese subtitles.
但是现在这些视频还是没有这个中文字幕。Some small fragments, like,
yeah, very small fragments.
但是现在有一些奉献者已经都有这些视频，但是是 就是不成体系的啊，就是片段式的。
So if the Chinese devotees had access to this body of knowledge, their life would radically change.
我相信中国的奉献者如果有机会能够深入到这些资料当中的话，那他们的这个生活将会发生翻天覆地的变化。
Their enthusiasm for practicing Krishna consciousness would reach new heights.
那 Krishna 修习 Krishna 知觉的这种热情将会达到一个全新的高度。
But not only that, most importantly, having access to all these information about Prabhupada would guarantee a succession for the future of Krishna consciousness in China.
而且我觉得，只要是能够去就是接触到有关于施拉帕帕的这些方方面面的资料还有这些知识呢，可以帮助我们中国的奉献者，中国的 Yatra 以保证我们后继有人。
As a matter of fact, oftentimes new devotees coming to Krishna consciousness don't even know who Srila Prabhupada is.
事实上呢，很多新的奉献者加入了 Krishna 知觉之后，甚至一开始对 Srila Prabhupada 都不了解，不知道 Srila Prabhupada 是何许人也。
So we have to understand where everything that we learn in Krishna consciousness is coming from.
我们要知道我们在 Krishna 知觉当中所学习到的一切的这个源头是什么。
And without Srila Prabhupada, and I'll be very frank, there is no future of Krishna consciousness in the Chinese Yatra.
我可以坦白地说，如果我们对 Srila Prabhupada 不了解的话，那我们中国的这个 Yatra 是没有未来的。
Because if we can't carry that legacy, then we have nothing to stand on.
因为如果说我们没有办法把希拉帕帕的这份遗产能够传递下去的话，那么我们也就失去了根。
Now, the reason also why I push this point so strongly.
为什么我那么以激烈的这种措辞来推动这一点呢？
It's because Srila Prabhupada's disciples are leaving their bodies on a regular basis.
因为现在希拉帕帕这些门徒正在相继的离开。
In the last 10 days alone, 4 disciples passed away.
就在过去的十天之内，已经有四位释迦牟尼的门徒离开了躯体。
From different diseases, I'm not talking about the virus, different diseases.
我说的还不是这个病毒的这个缘故，他们是患了不同的这个疾病，然后这个去世的。
And as I speak, there are another handful of Prabhupada's disciples who are about to leave their bodies.
事实上呢，现在还有一小群这个释迦牟尼的门徒也已经到了离开人世的边缘。
Now, most of the initiated disciples of Srila Prabhupada today are either in their 60s, late 60s, or completely into their 70s,And some are already over 80 years old.
也就是说，帕帕的这些第一批的这些门徒，现在从年龄而言的话呢，有一部分已经快到70岁了，而且大部分是在70多岁，有一些已经80多了。
So within the next 10 years, we are going to see one departure after another.
那我们在接下来的这个十年当中一定会看到他们相继的纷纷离开。
And what do we have to stand on?
那我们现在呢我们的基础还会是什么呢
what,
我们可以依赖些什么呢
What is it that we can carry forward with confidence and strength?
我们能凭什么样的信心和力量把这一切继承下去呢
Who will be?The next generation of spiritual masters who are going to be able to present Srila Prabhupada with strength and conviction.
那这个下一代的能够以这个全然的信心和力量是呈现Srila Prabhupada的这个下一代的灵性导师又会是谁呢
？So this is a wake-up call.
所以我觉得呢，这个是对我们来说呢是一个警钟。
And I have decided Radha Charan Das to take on this project as a personal project to manage to convince every single translator in the Chinese Yatra to get into this project to translate everything that Srila Prabhupada wrote and Srila Prabhupada said.
那我现在以我个人的名义 Radha Charan Das 我想呢就把这个项目作为我自己一个就是个人的一个要全力以赴的一个项目我要让全中国的这些翻译者们都参与到这个项目当中来把有关 Srila Prabhupada 的这些所有的文字和视频的资料能够把它全部的翻译成中文能够让大家能够聆听得到能够让大家看到
And I will chase after and beg those translators to join this program.
然后我呢也会追着每一个的翻译并且求祈求哀求每一个翻译能够参与到这个项目中来
And if that doesn't work, I will reach out to their spiritual masters to instruct them to join this program.
那如果这些翻译呢就他不参与进来的话那我可能就会跟他们的灵性导师去讲希望他们的灵性导师给这些翻译们就是训谕让这些翻译们去加入到这个工程。
And that until the last word of Srila Prabhupada is translated into Chinese.
我要一直坚持下去一直到 Srila Prabhupada 的最后一句话都变成中文。
Already managed to convince one translator.
我现在已经说服了一个翻译。
Her name is Krishna Premi Devidasi.
她的名字就是 Krishna Premi Devidasi.
She is fired up.
她现在已经激情高涨了。
So we want more. I have listed in the Chinese Yatra alone at least 22 translators.
其实我把中在中国的可以做这个服务的翻译者的名字已经罗列了一遍，有22个。
This is very possible.
我觉得这个是非常可能的。
And it will happen.
而且我相信一定会发生。
So this is my presentation of the first item, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master, and that spiritual master is Srila Prabhupada.
那么呢，就是关于这六十四项当中的第一个，一个人必须要接受一位真正的灵性导师，这是我针对这第一点的一个阐释。那么我想说的就是这个真正的灵性导师，我在这里说的就是 Srila Prabhupada.
And because devotees are not in a position to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada becomes their Shiksha Guru or instructing spiritual master.
那因为现在奉献者们没有办法从 Srila Prabhupada 那里直接的接受启迪，所以呢 Srila Prabhupada 就成了大家的 Shiksha Guru 或者说是顺势灵性导师。
And Srila Prabhupada remains the Shiksha Guru for every single person who comes to Krishna consciousness for the next 10,000 years.
那对于加入 Krishna 知觉的每一个人而言 Srila Prabhupada 在接下来的一万年当中将成为他们永远的顺势灵性导师。
So the initiation process must go on. This is why we have initiating gurus.
那么这个启迪的仪式呢，一定要持续下去。这就是为什么我们每个人都要认一位启迪灵性导师。
And the position of these initiating gurus is to bring the new devotees to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada.
那启迪灵性导师的责任就是把这个奉献者把他的门徒带到 Srila Prabhupada 的莲花足边。
So this is the second item. To take initiation from a spiritual master.
这个就是在这里说到的第二点，就是必须要从一位灵性导师那里去接受启迪。
Now this is just a formality.
那么这个启迪呢，它是一个手续，一个仪式。
Because we already accept Krishna within the heart.
因为呢，在这之前，我们在心中已经接受了 Krishna 了。
We accept Srila Prabhupada as our Shiksha Guru.
我们也已经把 Srila Prabhupada 接受为我们的顺势 Guru.
And the initiation ceremony that takes place is to formalize our connection with the disciplic succession.
那么启迪的这个仪式的进行就会就是为了让我们建立起与这个使徒传系或者使徒传承的一个正式的关系正式的连接。
And as the word itself means, initiation means to begin.
那么这个词呢就是启迪在英文里面是 initiation, 它的含义就是开始起步的意思。
The candidate takes vows.
那么这个候选人呢他就会立誓发誓。
But the spiritual master also takes vows.
那么这个灵性导师也就是启迪灵性导师他也是要发下誓愿的。
And then devotional service begins.
然后这样的奉献服务就开始了。
The devotee receives instructions.
那这个门徒呢就要接受训示。
The devotee makes inquiries.
这个奉献者呢他就要寻以疑难。
As Srila Prabhupada told us, he only asked one question to his spiritual master, how can I serve you?
那 Srila Prabhupada 呢他曾经说他只向他的灵性导师问一个问题就是我怎么才能服务于你。
So let's say you go to your spiritual master and you ask such a question, Guru Maharaj, how can I serve you?
那举例来说你来到你的灵性导师的面前对你灵性导师说 Guru Maharaj, 我该怎么服务于您。
What is most likely answer?
那么这个最有可能性的答案会是什么呢?
Chant Hare Krishna.
他会说念诵 Hare Krishna 吧。
That's the first instruction.
这个是他所给予你的第一个训示。
Chant your rounds every day.
每天都要念诵全数。
The spiritual master has no other expectation from the disciple but to be a good sadhaka.
其实呢就是灵性导师他只是希望他的门徒能够成为一位非常好的规范修习者一位 sadhaka 除此之外呢他也算是别无所求了。
Everything else is a detail.
其他的这些都是属于细节。
What we should do, where we should go, how we should do things, this is secondary.
我们应该做什么事情我们应当到哪里去做一件事情的时候我们应该怎么做这些呢都是次要的。
Because if we can't chant our rounds and we can't follow the four regulative principles, what is the point of talking about anything else?
因为如果我们连十六圈都做不到四个规范原则也做不到的话那去奢谈一些别的什么又有什么意义呢?
So, of course, the spiritual master is very compassionate. That's one of the qualities of a guru is compassion.
那么当然这灵性导师是非常的仁慈的。那作为一个灵性导师呢仁慈就是他非常重要的一个品格。
Compassion also means tolerance.
这个仁慈当中又包含着这种容忍的含义。
But the disciples should not take advantage of the spiritual master's kindness.
但是呢这个门徒也不要去利用灵性导师的这种善意。
The example is given that in the early stage of life, the toddler will crawl on feet and legs, feet and hands, but then will begin to walk. And as the toddler begins to walk, he will fall over every now and then until he can walk steadily.
那这里面呢有一个这样的一个例子，这就好像是一个蹒跚学步的一个孩子，一开始的时候呢，他是四脚并用在地上这么爬的，然后爬着爬着他就有一天他站起来了但是站起来呢就走了没一两步呢又摔倒了于是又站起来就这样来回这就是他一开始就是学步的这个过程。
So, the spiritual master will hold the hand of the disciple to make sure he or she walks firmly.
所以呢在这个时候灵性导师就会伸出手去拉着这个孩子的手能保证他的这个门徒能够迈出这个坚实的步子能够顺利的往前走。
So what is the very first thing we do when we open our eyes in the morning and the very first thing we do before we close our eyes at night?
所以说呢当我们早上清晨睁开眼睛的时候第一件做的是什么事情呢晚上睡觉之前第一件做的又是最后做的一件又是什么事情呢
Someone will say, I check my phone.
有的人可能说哦就是查看手机啊。
Wrong.
这个是绝对的错误。
We chant our spiritual master's pranam mantra.
我们就要念这个灵性导师的顶拜祷文 pranam mantra.
That we never forget our relationship with our guru.
这样呢，我们一天从早到晚都不会忘记我们和灵性导师之间的关系。
And then finally, we follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and the directions that they have given us.
然后呢，就是说我们必须要去遵循过往的 Acharya 们的脚步，并且呢，去遵循灵性导师所给予我们的指导。
So again, how is this possible without Srila Prabhupada?
那我再次强调，如果没有 Srila Prabhupada 的话，那么这一点怎么可能发生呢？
Because he wrote the Acharya's instructions and guidance in his own books.
因为是他把这些与过往的这个 Acharya 们的顺势和语言收录到他的这个书里面。
What we are reading right now, Lord Chaitanya teachings to Sanatan Goswami.
比如说我们现在所读到的就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 顺势 Sanatan Goswami.
This is all given to us by Srila Prabhupada.
那我们怎么才能知道这些呢？那一定就是 Srila Prabhupada 他给予我们的，我们才有机会读到。
Six, one should be prepared to give up. Wait, did I jump here? No. One should be prepared to give up everything for Krishna's satisfaction, and one should also accept everything for Krishna's satisfaction. Seven, one must leave in a place where Krishna is present, a city like Vrindavan or Mathura, or a Krishna temple. Eight, one should acquire a livelihood that is just sufficient to keep body and soul together. Nine, one must fast on the Ekadashi day.
那下面接下来的几步呢，就是第六条，就是一个人应当要随时准备为了满足 Krishna 而接受一切，为了满足 Krishna 而放弃一切。第七点就是一个人应当要居住在一个 Krishna 临在的地方，比如说像 Vrindavan Mathura 这样的城市，或是 Krishna 的庙宇。第八就是应当要只应当接受足以为生的生计。第九呢，就是要必须在 Ekadasi 就是艾卡达西日戒食。
So the first item here, number six, is mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, that we accept what is favorable for devotional service and we reject what is not favorable for devotional service.
那么就是第六点，其实就是相当于 Rupa Goswami 在这个奉害的甘露当中所讲的，我们要接受有利于 Krishna 知觉的一切，放弃不利于 Krishna 知觉的一切。
And we learn to do this by staying in the association of devotees.
那我们是通过和 Krishna 的奉献者们在一起而做到这一点的。
Seven is to leave. Here it mentions.Where Krishna is, this is important, where Krishna is present, that's what it means. You must live in a place where Krishna is present.
那第七呢，简而言之的话，就是说你必须要居住在一个有 Krishna 的地方，或者说 Krishna 所临在的地方。
So we know Krishna is present in Vrindavan.
我们知道 Krishna 是在 Vrindavan。
Or in Mathura,
或者在 Mathura,
or in a temple where his deity is being served and worshipped.
或者是呢，就是在一个庙里，在这个庙里，他的这个神像呢，得到了崇拜，和服务。
Krishna is also present in Sridharmayapur.
那 Krishna 他也在 Sridharmayapur.
And in Jagannath Puri.
还有在 Jagannath Puri.
And in India, there are literally thousands upon thousands of places where Krishna is being served.
那可以说在印度的这个国家，就是在这个服务 Krishna 的这些地方，可以说是千千万万。
Yesterday, a very great Indian musician passed away at the age of 96.
昨天呢，有一位96岁高龄的印度音乐家离开了人世。
And he spent his whole life singing Krishna's glories.
他用了一辈子的时间，来唱诵 Krishna 的荣耀。
With the most amazing, beautiful voice.
而且他用的是最不可思议的那种悦耳动听的歌喉。
And he was actually the guru or the acharya of the traditional singing in India.
他实际上是印度的古典唱法的一位大师，一位 guru。
So in other words, Krishna was present in his life through his singing.
也就是说呢，就是通过他的这个歌声呢 ，Krishna 就是时时刻刻的在一起，和他在一起，出现在他的生命里。
If we have to live in a place where Krishna is present, then we have to make Krishna present, and that is where we live.
如果说呢，我们要让 Krishna 在我们的生活当中时刻临在，那我们要做的一件事情就是要把我们所居住的地方转变成为 Krishna 临在的地方。
Wherever the devotees are serving, Krishna is present.
无论哪里有服务的奉献者，哪里就有 Krishna.
Wherever the devotees are chanting Krishna's names, Krishna is present.
哪里有奉献者唱诵 Krishna 的圣名， Krishna 就在哪里，哪里就有 Krishna.
So whether it's in a small apartment in China or a big temple,
不管是在中国的哪一个小的房间里面，还是在一个大的庙宇里，
whether it's on the street, whether it's in the forest, wherever Krishna's glories are chanted and wherever Krishna is served, that's where we want to be.
那无论是在大街上还是在森林里，只要有颂扬 Krishna 的荣耀的地方，以及服务 Krishna 的地方，那就是我们心心念念要去的地方。
Just as Advaita Acharya told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan.
就好像 Advaita Acharya对于这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所说的一样，哪里有你，哪里就是 Vrindavan.
Like Srimati Danakeli Devidasi spends all day, every day, translating the lectures of her Guru Maharaj on Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes.
就好像是 Srimati Danakeli Mataji, 她就是每一天她都把所有的这个时间用来翻译他的灵性导师 Indrajana Swami 的有关于 Vrindavan 逍遥时光的讲课。
So that's how you become Krishna conscious.
那这样呢，就是去培育你的 Krishna 知觉的方法。
Now eight is to make a living, because we have to make money to pay our bills and to eat and to maintain ourselves. But here it says,only sufficient to keep the body and soul together.
那第八条就是讲到了有关于我们的维生，那我们每个人都要有这么一份生计，这样子呢才能够维持我们的身体的生存，并且能够去支付那些账单以及生活当中的开销。那在第八点当中呢，它是说到了就是去接受那些足以维生的生计。
So I think I mentioned it last time. There are some devotees who, by good karma, for them it's easy to acquire money.
我想前面我可能也给大家提到过，就是有一些人他的 karma 业报比较好，所以对他来说呢，轻轻松松就可以挣到很多钱。
There are some devotees without making too much effort, money just keeps coming.
那有一些奉献者真的是不需要花太大的功夫，那个钱好像源源不断的就会到来。
And that's good, because they don't have the anxiety to have to make money just to pay for their maintenance.
那这个也很好，因为他们这样呢就不至于为了这个维生而时常的处于这种焦虑之中。
Now there are some devotees who just make enough money to maintain.
那有一些奉献者呢，他只是能够就是勉强的维持自己的生活。
It's still a little bit of anxiety, but they can manage it.
就是说他还是有一点焦虑的，但是呢，还是 能够对付。
And then there are some devotees who constantly dream to become multimillionaires even though they know they can't do it.
有些奉献者呢，他经常呢就是梦想着自己能够成为百万富翁、亿万富翁什么的，但是其实他们心里也知道这是不可能的。
Who believe that unless you make a lot of money, then your life is useless.
有些很多人他们以为啊，除非这辈子能够挣上很多钱，否则就是虚度光阴了。
And the price that they pay for this is that they completely sacrifice their sadhana.
然后呢，他们为了这个目标呢，就完全的牺牲了自己的 sadhana 规范休息。
Or when they talk to other devotees, it's only about how to make money.
或者他跟别的奉献者去聊天的时候，话题只有一个，就是怎么挣钱。
This is bad.
这个是很糟糕的。
The whole idea here is to free the mind, free the heart from anxiety, so we can concentrate on spiritual activities.
其实在这里的一个核心要义就是说，要让自己的心意啊，还有让自己的心都能够摆脱这种焦虑。这样呢，在一种轻松的这种心情下面，就可以完全的专注于 Krishna 知觉的休息。
And then you have devotees, no matter what they try, they constantly struggle just to make enough to maintain.
那还有一些奉献者呢，在维生方面似乎总是在那苦苦挣扎。
So those who are very financially comfortable, they should help those who are struggling.
那些在这个经济上非常的宽松富裕的那些奉献者呢，应当去帮助那些困难的奉献者。
It's interesting because from our balcony here, we are on the fourth floor of our apartment building, and we can see a lot of things that go on the streets here in Mayapur.
那我们现在呢是住在一个四楼这么一个高度，从我们的这个阳台上就是可以看到我们旁边的这条小街，那这条小路上面可以看到各种各样的发生的事情，各种各样的活动。
And we see people selling things all the time.
我们看到很多人天天都在这里卖东西。
And we see people buying things all the time.
也看到很多人天天都在买东西。
But there's one thing that we don't see.
但是有一件事情我们是看不见的。
We never see people in anxiety.
我们在这里看不到一个好像满脸焦虑的人。
And everyone, not just the ISKCON devotees, but all the village people, they're all devotees of Krishna. And some of them live very, very simply, but you never see them in anxiety.
在这里呢，生活了好多这个 ISKCON 的奉献者以及当地人。有的人其实这个是非常非常微薄的收入，生活是极其的简单的，但是你在他们的脸上看不到丝毫焦虑的影子。
There is this man who sells flowers every day.
有一个人他每天都在这里卖花。
I mean, those flowers are so cheap.
那些花非常的便宜。
And you wonder how he maintains.
然后你就在想他怎么维生啊。
And sometimes he has a very sorry face.
有的时候你会看他好像脸上挺有点难过的样子。
And you think, how is he going to sell all these flowers? How much money is he going to make?
然后你就会为他担心起来，你这些花到底能卖出多少啊，能挣出今天能挣出多少钱呀，怎么才能都卖出去啊。
And then you see him later on during the day, he's driving this big motorbike and he's very happy. He's got money.
然后呢，这个白天其他的时候呢，你又在路上遇到他了，他兴高采烈的骑着他的这个摩托车在那儿飞驰，他其实是有钱的。
So people understand their priority is to be Krishna conscious.
所以说呢，我们可以看到这里的人，他们是把这个 Krishna 知觉看成是生命当中最重要的东西。
And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I provide what they lack.
Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》里也是这样说的，就是无者我赐予，就是 Krishna 他会赐予我们所缺乏的东西。
I give you another example.
我再举个例子。
There are some very senior devotees in our movement. like senior Prabhupada disciples.
在我们的这个 Krishna 知觉运动当中，有一些极其年长、资深的奉献者。我指的就是 Srila Prabhupada 最早期的那门徒。
And when they get into old age, because they've given their entire life to the Krishna consciousness movement, they get into old age, they have no pension, they have no health care, they can't even finish paying off their homes.They're struggling.
因为他们这辈子都是把自己的生命完全都这个无私的献给了 Krishna 知觉运动，献给了 Srila Prabhupada。所以当他们到了年老的时候呢，他们的这个就是晚景，在一般人看来好像是非常的苍凉。他们也没有这个养老金，然后他们也没有健康保险，他们甚至是自己住的房子的贷款都没有付清，
so,
所以是非常艰难的。
There is this website called GoFundMe.
It's a donation.
Yeah.
所以呢，这奉献者就建了这么一个网站，在这个网站上面呢，它的这个名字就是 GoFundMe， 那意思好像就是资助我，请资助我。
And they ask devotees to help.
所以呢，他们就向奉献者求助了。
That devotee in two or three days collected $80,000.
You mean one devotee? 然后有一个奉献者。
No. I mean different donations.
Yeah. You mean this website is from one particular devotee. It's not for
many. No. This is international. You just go there.
Yeah. One person started this website
No, this is karmi stuff.
Oh, karmi stuff.
Yes. Anybody can go there and give donations for a specific thing.
You didn't get me.就是说，然后有一个奉献者，他就在上面求助了之后，在两三天之内，他就就集资了这个，不是，就是得到了$80,000 $80,000 right？ 有$80,000的捐赠，就是来自于世界各地的捐赠，包括奉献者也有非奉献者。
Or somebody has cancer, needs special treatment, someone had an accident, and they just go there and everybody just sends $10, $20, and it just accumulates and the person is helped in a very short time.
Not necessarily devotees, you're talking about.
No, this is just for devotees.
然后还有一些奉献者可能是得了那个就是癌症，或者是遇上了这个车祸。所以呢，也是在很短的时间里面，大家就纷纷的捐款给他。那有的人可能只给个$10、$20这样的，但是积少成多也是很可观的。
So ISKCON is a big international family.
所以 ISKCON 呢，它是一个遍布全球的一个大家庭。
And devotees are very helpful.
然后奉献者呢，也是就是非常乐于助人的。
Okay, nine.One must fast on Ekadashi day. This is twice a month.
第九条就是说必须在这个 Ekadashi 日上戒食。这个呢就是一个月有这么两次。
Now, I want to say something about Ekadashi.
关于这个 Ekadashi 呢，我还想说几句。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked his mother, could you please follow Ekadashi?
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢对他的母亲说，你可以去遵守爱卡达西日吗？
And she said, yes, my son, I will follow it.
然后他母亲说，好的，儿子，我会遵守 Ekadashi。
So Ekadashi is known as the day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
所以呢 Ekadashi 呢就被誉为是至尊人格守神日。
And Ekadashi has been followed by all the servants of Lord Krishna since the time of creation.
其实是在这个创造之初开始呢，所有的 Krishna 的奉献者们都会遵循这一个重要的日子。
Now, what does that mean, fasting?
那我们在这里说到的这个戒食指的是什么呢？
Some people take it to the extreme.
有些人呢，把这个戒食理解的比较极端。
By not taking any water, not eating any food.
就是什么都不吃，什么都不喝。一点水都不喝。
The Prabhupada gave us Ekadashi to follow by not eating any grains.
那 Srila Prabhupada 给我们的这个 Ekadashi 的这个戒食内容就是说不吃任何五谷和豆类。
That's all it means. Don't eat any grains on Ekadashi.
and soy products. 就是在爱卡达西日呢，你是
grains of beans. And beans.
Yes, 就是绝对的不吃那个五谷和豆类啊，豆制品包括。
Now, 2 weeks ago, one devotee in Beijing passed away.
在两星期之前，你在北京有一位奉献者去世了。
A wonderful, very sweet Russian devotee.
这是一个俄罗斯的奉献者啊，他是一个非常的。就是让人觉得那种如沐春风的那种很甜蜜的一个奉献者。
And over the years, this devotee was accustomed to fast every Ekadashi from water and food.
哦，然后因为这个奉献者，这很多年来他都是习惯于在爱卡达西日上面是绝对的遵守，他就是不吃五谷豆类，他不仅不吃五谷豆类，他是什么都不吃，是全戒，甚至是戒水。
But because he was not taking any medical checkup, he did not realize that he was developing a disease.
但是他一直也没有体检，所以他根本就不知道他自己已经生了一种病啊，跟肠胃有关的病。
So much so that the last Ekadashi, he again fasted from water and food.And then he was taken to the hospital, and he passed away.
然后呢，到了最后一个 Ekadashi 日的时候，虽然他非常的难受，但是他还是坚持着全戒。最后受不了了，奉献者就把他送到了医院里面，然后他在医院里面就离开了。Actually, before every Ekadashi, he feels uncomfortable
yes,
and devotees persuade.
Yes.
实际上，他这个也不是突发的一个事情，因为他患上了这个病之后啊，可能也跟这个一直经常全戒有关，就是。他每次 Ekadashi 的时候，他都会非常非常的难受。然后呢，奉献者们都劝他说：“你就不要全戒了。”但是他还是坚持怎么去全戒。
So please do us a favor. Don't try to be a great yogi.
所以呢，请大家行行好，不要非得做一个大瑜伽师。
We're not Haridas Thakur.
我们不是 Haridas Thakur.
We need to eat so we can serve.
我们得吃东西，得要有能量，这样我们才能够好好的去服务 Krishna.
Actually, Prabhupada said, Ekadashi means feast.
其实呢，释迦牟尼他有这么一句话，他说 Ekadashi 就意味着大餐。
10. One should worship the Datri tree, Banyan tree, cows, brahmanas, and devotees of Lord Vishnu. 11. One should avoid offenses against devotional service and the holy name.
那在这里的第十条就是说呢，人应崇拜 Datri 树，榕树、奶牛、婆罗门和主 Vishnu 的奉献者。第十一条就是，应当要避免对奉献服务和圣灵的冒犯。
So Datri tree, Banyan tree, you know, this is part of.Vedic concept.
这个 Datri 树还有榕树呢，这个是韦达文化里的这个概念。
But cows and brahmanas and devotees of Krishna, we have to worship them by respecting them.
那么这个奶牛、婆罗门和主 Vishnu 的奉献者怎么来崇拜呢？这个主要指的就是说要非常的尊敬他们。
And because we are still on the condition platform, we have to be careful.We cannot be without mistakes. Mistake is human. But we have to be careful not to purposely offend devotees and devotional service and the holy name.
那我们呢，每一个人都是备受局限的，因为我们并不是完人，我们都是普通人，所以呢，犯错是不可避免的。但是是尽管我们非常容易犯错，但是也得要绝对的去避免，尽量的去避免对这个奉献服务还有对圣灵的冒犯。
Number 12, we have to stay away from non-devotees who are not helping us in Krishna consciousness.
第十二条的意思就是说要放弃非奉献者的联谊，或者就是放弃和非奉献者的交往。
In other words, we may have to spend time with non-devotees who are either family members or co-workers.
那我在我们的生活当中，我们还是要和这些 家人或者是同事在一起，他们可能不是奉献者。
But our friends should be devotees only.
但是说到朋友啊，就这种亲密到朋友这种程度呢，应当就是只是我们的奉献者。
13, one should not accept unlimited number of disciples.
第十三条指的是人不应当接受不计其数的门徒。
So this is interesting because this
无限的接受门徒，不要无限的接受。
This points to the gurus.
这一条的这个训示很特别，它是针对那个 guru 灵性导师的。
So it means that gurus are not above the law.
换句话说呢，这个Guru 呢，他也是要受到这个律则的限制的。
It's not that now I am a guru, I don't need to follow all the rules and regulations.
他并不是说我现在已经身为 guru 了，所以呢，这些规范原则我就不需要遵守了，并不是这样的。
What is the difference between a guru and a devotee in general?
那一个 guru 和一般的奉献者之间的区别是在哪里呢？
There's no difference.
这是没有什么区别。
To be a guru is a service to Krishna, and every devotee also has service to Krishna.
去做一个 guru, 这本身就是对 Krishna 的一个奉献服务。而作为普通的奉献者来说，每个人也都要去服务 Krishna, 所以是没有区别。
If there is one difference, it's the level of responsibility.
如果说 guru 和门徒之间有什么区别的话，那也是。就是责任的大小不同而已。
And one of the responsibilities of the spiritual master or the guru is to bring the disciple to the disciplic succession, to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada.
那这个作为灵性导师的话，他有一个非常重要的这个责任，就是要把这个门徒把奉献者带到使徒传系中，带到 Srila Prabhupada 的莲花足下。
Now Prabhupada says to accept unlimited number of disciples is very risky.
Srila Prabhupada 在这里指出呢，说无限的去接受门徒是非常的危险的。
Because Prabhupada mentions that when the spiritual master initiates the disciple, he will also accept the disciple's sinful activities and their reactions.
那就是释迦牟尼佛说到呢，当一个灵性导师去接受门徒的话，他同时也就接受了门徒的罪恶的活动以及罪恶的活动所带来的反应。
So sometimes you will see the spiritual master will get sick.
有的时候你会看到这个灵性导师生病。
Or may even die.
甚至会死亡。
Or may get involved in an accident.
或者呢，就是遇上了什么意外
，or have a very heavy disease.
或者说患上了重病。
I remember at some point, Srila Prabhupada wanted to slow down the number of disciples because he said too many sinful activities coming in.
我记得呢，曾经有一段时期呢，Srila Prabhupada在接受门徒这方面、启迪门徒这方面呢，就放慢了这个节奏了，因为他认为就是太多太多的罪恶活动，就是他要承担太多了。
One spiritual master that I know very personally told me every time I give initiation that same night I have nightmares.
就是说有一个和我关系比较亲的一位灵性导师，他私下里告诉我说，每次他这个做启迪仪式启迪了门徒之后，那一个晚上他就会做很多噩梦。
So Prabhupada says you have to be a very powerful guru to accept many disciples.
那所以释迦牟尼佛他说呢，他说你要想接受很多的门徒的话，那首先你要是一位非常有力量的灵性导师。
Therefore, the idea is not to have a handful of guru who have many disciples, but to have many gurus who have a handful of disciples.
所以呢，这里的这个核心就是说，不要是这么很少的一小群灵性导师，然后呢，他们。每个人都接受很多很多的门徒，而应当是反过来，应当有很多的灵性导师，然后每个灵性导师呢能够接受这么一些门徒。
Actually, you'd be surprised. if you look at the name of all the acharyas in a disciplic succession, most of them had no disciples, and if they had any, they had maybe two or three.
事实上，如果你看一下这个使徒传系里面的这些 acharya 们，这些灵性导师们，他们中的有一些人根本就没有门徒，有一些如果是有了收了门徒的话，可能也就是这么两三个。
The number really began to increase with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and of course Srila Prabhupada.
在这个接收门徒的数量上面，突然增加的是从 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 开始 ，Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati， 然后到 Srila Prabhupada。
And Srila Prabhupada initiated approximately between 5,000 and 10,000 devotees。
那么 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他接受的这个门徒的数量在5,000 to 10,000之间。
But many of his disciples today have far more disciples than he did.
那但是现在他的这些门徒，好些门徒所接受的门徒的这个数量，要远远的超过了他当年所提的。
So if we come to Krishna consciousness with, you know, reactions from previous activities, at least we should make the path easier from our spiritual master after initiation.And not commit any more sinful activity.
所以说，如果说我们在启迪的时候，我们是的确是携带了来自前世的各种各样的罪恶活动和业报反应的话，那我们也要减轻我们灵性导师的负担，至少是在启迪之后，就不要再做更多的罪恶活动，给灵性导师增加负担了。
14. One should not partially study many scriptures just to be able to give references and expand explanation.
第十四条呢，指的就是一个人呢，不要就是非常浅显的去研究很多很多的经典，只是为了能够引经据典，
so,
或者说是去阐释。
I want to speak about this because it's an important topic, but we're running out of time, so I'll do this not next week, which is Radhastami, but the week after.
那这一条呢，我也是要详细的去解释一下的，但是我们现在已经没有时间了。那么下一周是 Radhastami, 也就是没有Chaitanya Charitamrita的课，所以要两个星期之后我们再来讲这个主题。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. OK, 我们看一下大家有没有问题。OK， 志明嘛，他就有一个问题。顶拜咕噜，感谢翻译，可以在卫生间涂 Tila 吗？这样就得把圣泥拿到卫生间了，可以吗 ？Can we put Tila in the bathroom? That means we have to bring the Tila to the bathroom. Is that okay or not? What do we have to
do? It's not recommended, but if you have no other options, you can do that.
我们不建议在卫生间里面去涂 Tila。但是如果你别无选择，只能是在卫生间的话，那也只能这样了。But at least in a separate corner, a clean corner.
There's no reason why you have to have the tilak in the bathroom.
就是说你为什么一定要在卫生间涂 tilak 呢？这个好像没有什么就是必须的这个理由吧。
If you can put tilak on, why not put tilak in the bedroom?
那如果说能够去涂 tilak 的话，那为什么不选择其他的地方，比如甚至是卧室或者是其他的家里其他的角落呢？Like the kitchen,
lounge room,
厨房啊，客厅啊，这些都是可以的呀。OK。Sumuki 又转发了一个来自于 calligraphy 的一个问题，爱卡达西戒时无果，神像有戒吗？果然你太神像。So Ekadasi, we have to fast from the grains. What about the deities? Do they also fast from the grains? What about Gramitai deities?
Very good question.
这个问题问得好。
In the temples, the deity offering have to go on.
Yes. 在这个庙里面呢，这个对神像的这个供奉呢，就是要一直持续保持的。
So Radha and Krishna, they don't follow Ekadasi.
这个 Radha 和 Krishna 是不遵循这个 Ekadasi 的。
Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, they don't follow Ekadasi.
那 Jagannath, Baladev 和 Subhadra 也是不用戒这个五谷啊什么。
But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are none different than Krishna, are in a position of practicing devotees to teach us, therefore they do follow the covenant.
那就是格拉尼塔、吉泰涅马哈法布和朱尼坚南的特质，他们虽然就是至尊如本人，但是他们在这个世界上的时候是扮演的是就是遵循着规范原则的奉献者的角色，所以他们是戒食无谷的。OK， 所以格拉尼塔神像的话是不供奉五谷和豆类的，在开斋那一天。OK, she continues with another question. 这个问题还是以 calligraphy 来的。讲课提到不要无限制的收门徒，是不是指不要收不具资格的门徒？具备资格的门徒可以无限的收。In your class, you mentioned that the gurus shouldn't accept an unlimited number of disciples. So when we talked about unlimited, does that mean the gurus shouldn't accept unqualified disciples? But if the disciples are qualified, then he can accept unlimitedly.
Very good question.
这个问题也问得不错。
Prabhupada says in a purport, a preacher must accept many disciples in order to spread Krishna consciousness.
那释迦巴巴在这个要旨当中说呢，作为一个传教者的话，他需要接受很多的门徒，这样子去传播这个 Krishna 知觉。
Now to spread Krishna consciousness and to teach devotional service, you have to be a mature, advanced devotee.
那为了要去做到这个传播 Krishna 知觉，以及去训练。这个就奉献者们去从事 Krishna 知觉的奉献服务，那么这个传教者呢，他必须是非常的成熟的奉献者。
Now, I mean this is that question has been asked many times before in the past. Not just in China, but in ISKCON in general.
你的这个问题呢，其实不光是你问，在中国问过，在这个 ISKCON 的其他的这个国家之前，也有好些人问过同样的问题。
Now, how do you qualify how do you know a devotee is qualified?
那你怎么才能知道一个奉献者是有资格的呢？
You can actually detect from the very beginning of the spiritual life that they have piety.
从他的这个开始了他的奉献服务的这个起步的时候，你是可以看到这个人他是有这个虔诚活动的累积的。
And you see what kind of family they come from, what is their upbringing.
你可以从他的这个家庭的背景以及他的这个成长的环境。可以基本上可以推断的出来。
That's why you will find that our gurus in ISKCON today, they don't hesitate to initiate Indian families.
所以你现在可以看到，就是在 ISKCON 的现在，就是这些 guru 们，他们遇到那些印度的家庭的奉献者的时候，他们是会毫不犹豫的启迪他们的。
But we still don't know what happened in their past life.
但是他们前世到底是怎么样的，我们依然无法论断。
So it's still the same. It's a dangerous business.
所以不管怎么样，这件事情还是冒险的。
So Prabhupada says, it is not advised that one should take many disciples.
所以呢，释迦牟尼佛说呢，不推荐一个人接受。无限制的接受门徒。
Even if after initiation they are very qualified.
即便说他们起立之后，他们非常的有资格，依然是不推荐收大量的，或者说无限度的接受门徒。
The other aspect of this question is that how much attention can you give to each disciple?
那这个问题还有另外一面，就是你收了很多很多门徒之后，你到底能够给每一个门徒多少的关注呢？
This, you know, some disciples they take initiation from a particular guru because they know they will get personal attention.
有一些门徒他就是接受了某一位灵性导师，是因为他很确信这个灵性导师会给他个人以很大的关注和照顾。
And others they take initiation from a guru and they have high expectations and then they get very disappointed when they don't get any attention.
那还有一些门徒呢，他就是认了灵性导师，接受他的启迪的时候呢，他的期望是非常的高的，但是后来他其实并没有得到太多的个人关注，这个时候呢，他就极其的这个失望。
But this is very interesting because remember at the beginning of this lecture, I emphasized the fact that devotees should take full shelter of Srila Prabhupada because whatever our gurus are giving us, they're getting it from Prabhupada anyway.
所以呢，这个是非常有意思的，因为大家记得我在这个开始这堂课的开始，我就强调了 Srila Prabhupada 对我们的灵性生命的重要性，关于 Srila Prabhupada 的这个重要性。所以说呢，就是其实我们的启迪灵性导师，不管他给予了我们什么，他所给予我们这一切，这个本来也都是来自于 Srila Prabhupada。
And it is suggested that we should take shelter in a living guru.
而且我们应当要托庇于一位在世的灵性导师。
But how do we access that living guru?
那我们怎么样才能接近这样的一位在世的灵性导师呢？
It's very difficult.
这个很难呢。
If we have high expectations and we get disappointed, we're not going to get very enthusiastic about practicing Krishna consciousness.
那如果说呢，我们的期待很高，但是呢，却这种就一直是失望，那这个的话，可能就会降低我们做奉献服务的这个热情。我在这个问题上延伸一个小问题哈。What about those who actually, you know, almost don't get any attention from the Diksha Guru because Diksha Guru has a lot of other disciples and then he switched to some Shiksha Gurus taking shelter of
yes,
Shiksha.
Yeah,
that would be recommended. And
it's not recommended, but it's possible by getting the blessing of the Diksha Guru. You have to get the blessing.
Okay. 那有一些奉献者呢，因为自己的启迪灵性导师有很多的门徒，所以说他也不可能说得到个人的很多的关注和满足。那他有可能就是再去托庇于一位训示灵性导师。那么这样子的话呢，是否也是推荐或者是帮助的 ？Radha Charan Prabhu 说呢，不是说特意去推荐他这样去做，但是呢，就是可以这样对他是有帮助的但是他有一个前提，必须要得到自己的启迪灵性导师的祝福，在启迪灵性导师的祝福准许下面，才去托庇于一个训示灵性导师。
And we also have to understand that everyone is a guru. We learn from everybody.
而且我们还要知道这个 guru 的这个含义呢，它是非常宽广的，就是不仅仅只是启迪灵性导师，我们身边的每一个人都可以说是我们的灵性导师。
If we only see, I only listen to my guru, I don't listen to anyone else, believe me, this is very, very neophyte platform.
如果说你呢，就是只是去听你的启迪灵性导师的话，其他的人一概不听也不当回事儿，那就说明你还是一个极其初级的奉献者。OK。Sumuki Radha Dasi 顶拜帕布和马太吉及所有的奉献者，感恩你们精彩讲课。请问启迪咕噜没有很多精力照顾门徒，但是训示咕噜很细致的照顾和教导门徒，也能把我们带回守神，是吗？我们应该怎么对待启迪咕噜和训示咕噜呢？启迪咕噜是我们永恒的灵性父亲，训示咕噜和我们在灵性上是什么关系呢？Thank you very much for your wonderful class. My question is, the Diksha Guru doesn't have so much energy to take care of each disciple. However, the Shiksha Guru can take care or to train or teach the disciples with all the details meticulously. So can they also take us back to the Supreme Lord? How do we...deal with our Shiksha Guru and as verse to Shiksha, Diksha Guru and verse to Shiksha Guru, yes. So what's the difference here? And also I said the Diksha Guru is our eternal spiritual father. Now what about the Shiksha Guru? What's the relationship between us and the Shiksha Guru?
The Diksha Guru has the functionto connect the disciple to the disciplic succession.
就是 Diksha Guru 启迪灵性导师呢，他是有一个 就是他的一个使命，就是把你跟使徒传系连接到一起。
So, for example, you will find some great acharyas who were initiated by a family guru just to be connected.
你会在使徒传系里看到有一些非常伟大的一些 acharya 们，他们的启迪灵性导师可能就是一个家庭 guru。啊，这是这个家庭 guru 启迪了他，就是把他正式的跟这个传承连接到了一起。
But their shiksha gurus was another acharya.
啊，那这个 shiksha guru 呢，他们就是另有其人，就是他们的训师 guru 是另外一位。
As a matter of fact, our disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya is mainly shiksha line.
啊，实际上我们的这个使徒传系呢，主要是 shiksha。就是是一个训师 guru 的一个传承。
So the shiksha is the instructing guru. In other words, is the person who really looks after your spiritual progress and takes you to the spontaneous platform of love for Krishna.
那这个训师 guru 呢，就是说是来训练你的规范修习的，在 Krishna 知觉当中的灵修的然后他会。帮助你一直上升到一个自然而发的这样的一个阶段，然后回归神手。
Now,
he can be taken back to the spiritual world.
Of course.
所以训师 guru 是肯定可以把这个门徒带回到神手的。
Now, it's also possible, and it happens often, that the diksha guru also becomes the shiksha guru.
而且经常是这样的一个情况，就是 diksha guru, 也就是启迪灵性导师呢，就是你的训师灵性导师。
So the main thing is to be connected to the parampara. We have to understand it's the parampara that takes us back to Krishna.
所以现在其实最重要的就是说你要跟这个 parampara, 也就是这个我们的使徒传系或者师徒传承能够连接到一起，因为真正的把你带回到Krishna 那里，回归神手的是这个传承。
And we don't have to worry aboutWhat we will be in the spiritual world, what our guru is in the spiritual world, these things come much, much later.
你也不用担心说那个我在灵性世界究竟是谁啊，我的灵性导师在灵性世界到底是怎样啊，跟我又是什么关系了，这些现在不用去过早的去担心，这个要到很后面以后你才会去了解的。Okay.So what's our relationship with our Shiksha Guru? Because we say Diksha Guru is our eternal father. So what about Shiksha Guru? What kind of relationship is that?
We have to be careful with this kind of understanding that the spiritual master is our eternal father.
Spiritual father.
Spiritual father.
对，就是当我们说到就是guru 是我们永恒的灵性父亲的时候，当我们去做这个比喻的时候呢，也要谨慎一些。
We like to look at the guru as a father figure, but it's only a figure of a father because when you look up at a father, you think of shelter.
Shelter, 对，因为我们经常把 guru 比喻成我们的灵性的这个父亲，但是他只就是一个父亲的形象，因为当我们呢。就是想到了父亲的话，就会觉得是一个庇护，是得到了保护，所以我们把它称为是父亲。
And this way of describing the guru actually comes from Srila Prabhupada.
那这样的一个说法呢，是来自于 Srila Prabhupada.
Where he explained to his, for example, he wrote to some lady disciples that I am your father eternally.
那就比如说他给他的一些女门徒写信的时候，他就说到我是你永恒的父亲。
But I have never seen letters of disciples who write to Srila Prabhupada saying, my dear spiritual father.
但是我从来没有见到哪一个门徒给 Srila Prabhupada 写信的时候抬头是我的灵性父亲。
So we have to be clear about our relationship with the guru that, okay, we see him as a father figure because he gives shelter, but he's our teacher.
就是说呢，我们称我们的灵性导师为父亲，这个也没有错，因为他给予了我们庇护，我们托庇于他，那么他像父亲一样保护庇护着我们，但是更重要的，我们要知道他是我们的导师。
And it's actually interesting. You see, this is another thing that we don't have in the Chinese Yatra. We have no Vyasa Puja book.
这还有一个我们缺失的一个东西，在我们中国这个 Yatra， 就是说我们没有这个 Vyasa Puja 的书。
And every year, one Chinese devotee writes a Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada on behalf of the Chinese Yatra, but the Chinese devotees never read it.
就是这个 Vyasa Puja 书呢，这是每年要献给 Srila Prabhupada 的，在他的这个行仙日上。那作为我们中国的 Yatra 来说呢，历来的这个习惯就是说，有一位奉献者代表中国 Yatra 给 Srila Prabhupada 写这么一份这个祷文，但是呢，他所写的这个祷文可能其他的奉献者都没有看到。
And when you read every year the offerings of the GBC members, the sannyasis, the gurus, and the different temples, you really see how the relationship with Srila Prabhupada is established.
就是其实你在 Vyasa Puja 的这本厚厚的书里，你要是去读到那些资深的这个 sannyasi, GBC 或者是各个庙宇，然后 Srila Prabhupada 的门徒写给他的祷文的话，那你真的是能够真真切切的体会到他们和 Srila Prabhupada 之间的关系。
So, you know,practically speaking, devotees, they see Prabhupada from so many different angles.
那换句话说就是说其实奉献者可以从各个角度去了解是了 Prabhupada 的。下一个问题来自于 Calligraphy， 强调是了 Prabhupada 不为过。如果过分强调 Prabhupada 会忽略在世的启迪和训示咕噜，怎么平衡好呢？目前是相反情况，强调启迪咕噜，忽略是了 Prabhupada 的。This is not around to, it's not around to emphasize the importance of Srila Prabhupada, but if we overemphasize the importance of Srila Prabhupada, we tend to neglect our existing Diksha and Shiksha Guru. So how to balance these two? Right now, the situation is the opposite. We emphasize the Diksha on the Diksha Guru, but we neglect on Srila Prabhupada.
Very good. Who is this calligrapher? Very smart person. Yes, it is true.
你说的没错。
Well, we cannot talk about overemphasizing Srila Prabhupada until we have completed this mission of translating everything he ever said and wrote.
在我们把 Srila Prabhupada 所说的话以及他所写的文字都翻译成中文之前，我们还不能说我们会过分的去强调 Srila Prabhupada。
And obviously, we may tend to overemphasize our living gurus now because we don't have very much access to Srila Prabhupada.
那因为我们现在有这个倾向的，会过分的去强调我们在世的这个 guru 的。因为我们现在对 Srila Prabhupada 了解太少了，没有更多的途径渠道去更深的去了解 Srila Prabhupada， 所以很自然会强调。
I would like to suggest，
所以呢，我有这样的一个建议
，that from now on，
就从现在开始
，every time our spiritual masters in the Chinese Yatra give a class。
就是每一次，就是我们在中国的这些灵性导师
，or a seminar。
给这个奉献者讲课或者是讲一个这个课程。
You say, can you please talk to us about Srila Prabhupada?
你们奉献者可以向这位灵性导师提出这个建议，请求他多讲一些 Srila Prabhupada。
And all your questions should be about Srila Prabhupada.
然后你的这个问题可以是跟 Srila Prabhupada 有关的。
Because all the gurus and senior devotees,of the Chinese Yatra, you have no idea how much treasure they have. If you make them speak, it will just start flowing like crazy.
就实际上在中国的这些启迪的 guru 们，还有这种资深年长的奉献者们，他们其实都是有一个有关 Srila Prabhupada 的保障啊。如果说你们去发出这样的一个请求，希望他们说 Srila Prabhupada 的话，那有关 Srila Prabhupada 的话题就像珍宝一样，源源不断的会从他们的莲花口中流出来的。
Ask Ashu to speak about Srila Prabhupada.
你可以请阿修说一说 Srila
Prabhupada。Ask Giridhari Swami to speak about Srila Prabhupada。
请 Giridhari Swami 讲一讲 Srila Prabhupada。
Ask Ramapad Swami to speak about Prabhupada。
请 Ramapad Maharaj 讲一讲。
How about Satyadev Prabhu?
还有 Satyadev Prabhu。
How about Kavichandra Maharaj?
还有 Kavichandra
Maharaj。How about Nrisimha Maharaj?You know how much they know about Srila Prabhupada?
你们知道他们对 Srila Prabhupada 了解的有多么深吗？
Ask Mahatma Prabhu to speak about Srila Prabhupada.
请 Mahatma Prabhu 来讲一下
I mean, this is like a mine.
这个就像是一个大金矿一样。Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, 我们要懂得去挖掘呀。OK, 下一个问题来自于 Lily, 李丽啊。顶拜咕噜感谢翻译请问还没脱壁的新人应该怎样寻找脱壁咕噜呢 For those who haven't taken shelter of a particular guru, how to find and take shelter of a guru? Do you have any suggestions?
Again, my question to you is how firmly situated are you in your faith in Srila Prabhupada.
那我首先还是要回到我的老话题，我要先问你一下，你究竟你的对 Srila Prabhupada 的这个信心有多坚实呢？
First, make sure you are comfortable in being sheltered at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet.
首先呢，你要让自己托庇于 Srila Prabhupada 的莲花足，而且是非常自在的托庇于 Srila Prabhupada 的莲花足。
And that is done by reading his books.
那你呢可以去读 Srila Prabhupada 的书。
And following his instructions.
遵循他的训示。
At that point, by listening to spiritual masters giving lectures.
然后呢你去听那些灵性导师所讲的课，这些不同的灵性导师讲的课。
By inquiring about their personalities.
然后呢Their personality, you mean face to face?
Their personalities, what kind of person they are?
然后你可以去了解一下这样的奉献，就是他的你的这，就是听到的这些 guru 们，他们的个性是怎样的，有什么性格特点，你可以去了解。
But don't get under any pressure from anyone who tells you you must take initiation from this guru.
但是如果说有人去跟你这个强迫你说就是你一定要接受这个灵性导师给你的启迪，那你就不要去听，不要就是被任何人所左右在这件事情上。
This is not healthy at all.
这个是很不这个健康的一个做法。
The door is open.
因为这个大门是敞开的。
And all the spiritual masters who serve the Chinese Yatra are available to give shelter.
就是现在服务于中国 Yatra 这个使命的呢，有这么多的启迪的灵性导师，大门是敞开的，大家都可以去托庇于他们中的任何一个人。
No one should impose their guru on a new devotee.
谁都不应当把自己的灵性导师强加给某一个新人。OK, 下一个问题来自于 Sumukhi Radha Dasi。您刚才讲到接受训示咕噜需要得到启迪灵性导师祝福，但是我们都是在先接受训示咕噜的教导之后，逐渐的才有机会接触到启迪咕噜的。是在启迪之后还要征询启迪咕噜的许可来正式接受训示咕噜吗？ You just mentioned that we should get the blessings from the Diksha Guru before we accept a Shiksha Guru. But however, for most of us, we all accept our Shiksha Guru's teachings first, and gradually we get the opportunity to get in touch with our Diksha Guru. So that, do you mean that after Diksha, taking Diksha or getting initiation, we should get the Diksha Guru's permission or blessings formally accept Shiksha Guru?
No. She didn't understand.
就这里你可能还没有理解对。
We accept a spiritual master and take initiation.
我们接受一位灵性导师，并且从他那里得到启迪。
This is our Diksha Guru.
这一位灵性导师就是你。就是启迪的那个灵性导师，那就是你的 Diksha Guru。
And that Diksha Guru is also our Shiksha Guru。
那这位 Diksha Guru 呢，喜地灵行导师，同时他也是我们的巡视 Guru。
Some devotees, some disciples are comfortable with that.
有一些门徒呢，他在这个时候他就 很舒服满足。
They get plenty of nourishment.
因为他就是可以得到足够的滋养。
Now, sometimes it happens that a devotee becomes interested or attracted to certain other gurus by listening to their lectures.
那有的时候呢，会有这样的一种情况，就是有的奉献者他听到了另外一个灵性导师，另外一位 guru 的讲课，所以他就非常的受这个鼓舞，被深深的吸引。
Now, there's no need of formality.
那在这个时候呢，不需要有一种正式的那样的一个手续仪式什么的。
You know, we all listen to everyone's lectures. We all take association of other gurus.
我们大家每一个人都会听很多不同的 guru 的这个讲课的，同时也会去和这些别的 guru 去联谊。
Now there are some devotees who are initiated by one guru but are really, really attracted to another one. They don't want to cut from the Diksha guru.But they feel that another guru really gives them what they need.
Like academic.
Yes, things like this.
Yes. 但是有这样的一些情况的，就是有一些门徒呢，他是之前他的确是接受了某一个启迪灵性导师的启迪，但是后来呢，他慢慢的就是他去听另外一个 guru 的讲课，或者是读他的书，然后就越来越被他所吸引，就是某一些特别的方面和自己非常的相应啊。举例来说，比如说这另外一个老师，他是启迪灵性导师，他是一种学术派的，那这个奉献者有这方面的倾向，所以说呢，他就喜欢去钻研这哲学方面的东西，他就被他所吸引。
So they may want to ask their Diksha guru, is it okay if I listen to this Guru Maharaj? Is it okay if I follow what he is doing?
那他这个时候他可以去询问一下自己的 Diksha guru, 启迪灵性导师啊，我去听那一位那 guru 的讲课，并且呢，就是去更多的看他的书啊，去更多的去了解他，这个行不行？你可以这样询问。
Like sometimes Giri Swami will take a group of disciples to the Holy Dham, and then some of his disciples will go with Radhanath Swami.
那这就好比说，我们举个例子，比如说这个 Giri Swami 带了一群奉献者来到了这个圣地，然后那这些门徒当中有一些人呢，他也被 Radhanath Swami 所吸引，所以呢去跟随去听 Radhanath Swami 的讲课，或者加入他的那个朝拜团。
They just feel inspired.
他们就是说。在 Radhanath Maharaj 那里也得到很大的鼓舞。
There's no harm.
这个也没有什么坏处。Yes.
Okay.
下一个问题来自于 Sita Rani Devi Dasi， 顶拜 Guru， 感恩翻译。什么样的时机是到了需要寻找训士 Guru 的时候？怎么找训士 Guru？ 训士 Guru 是不是门徒少的那样容易照顾和指导我们顶拜区会的奉献者？When can we see that it's the right opportunity or the time for us to look for a Shiksha Guru? How to find a Shiksha Guru? To find a Shiksha Guru, does that mean that when this Guru has less disciples so that they can have more time and energy to take care of us and give us guidance? Please accept my own humble.
No.
不是像你讲的那样。
We don't look for Shiksha Gurus. We don't look for Shiksha Gurus.
这个训士 Guru, Shiksha Guru 不是你去找来的。
We get Shiksha instructions automatically in Prabhupada's books.
我们的这种 Shiksha 的训士其实在我们读 Srila Prabhupada 的时候自动的就获得了。
We don't have to look for the Shiksha Guru. The Shiksha Guru is always there.
训士 Guru 不需要你去特意的去找，然后你找到这么一个训士 Guru， 这训士 Guru 一直在那儿。Maybe she means some particular relationship, like I take it shelter of you, like amongst all the others, I have a closer, you know, access to you. 那我补充了一下，可能你说的这个世事孤儒好像是更加独特一点，不是泛泛的，就是你跟这个世事孤儒有一种更近的关系，或者你正式的说，我能托付于您，请您做我的世事孤儒吗
？Okay,
that's possible.
No, we have to understand one thing. Srila Prabhupada created this Society for Krishna Consciousness where all the devotees live together.
那有一点我们要很清楚，就是施拉帕帕呢建立了这样的一个国际 Krishna 知觉协会，这就好像是一个大家庭一样，所有的奉献者都生活在一起。
And all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples represent Srila Prabhupada.
那施拉帕帕所有的这个门徒呢，都是施拉帕帕的代表。
So we have to understand we are fully sheltered by one guru or another.
所以呢，换句话说就是说呢，我们其实在某一个孤儒或者其他的某一个孤儒、某几个孤儒那里已经得到了全然的庇护。
But if we choose a specific spiritual master that we take shelter of is because we know that we need the shelter from that person and not another person.
那如果说你是在众多的这些孤儒当中，你特意的选择了一位孤儒作为你的启迪灵性导师，托庇于他，接受了他的启迪，那就意味着你在接受他的启迪的时候，你就信心百倍的知道，这位孤儒能够给予我更多的，就是特别的这种庇护。这就是为什么你没有去选其他孤儒的原因，你一定是在他那里得到了很多的这种庇护感。
And sometimes it happens that some devotees will go to a guru to get initiation because they know it's easy to get from that guru, but actually they're interested in another one.
那有的时候也有这样的现象，有的奉献者去托庇于某一位孤儒的，是因为觉得这个孤儒能够给我更多的照顾，更多的时间给我，那但实际上他真正的这种内心的这种吸引啊，是被另外一个灵性导师吸引的。
This is not a good mentality.
那作为一个门徒来说呢，这个是一个不好的心态。
If we choose a spiritual master and take shelter and initiation, is because we know that spiritual master will give me everything that I need to make spiritual progress.
我们之所以选择了一位灵性导师，托庇于他，要接受他的启迪，是因为我们就是完全的确信，这个灵性导师他可以庇护我，能够给我在 Krishna 知觉上面的藏足的这种教导。
And then when we hear from others, all they do is confirm what we already know from our Diksha Guru.
那如果说我们听其他的灵性导师的一些讲课也好，一些联谊也好，那也所得到的这一切也只是说对，只是我们的启迪灵性导师 Diksha Guru 所给我们的这一切的证实。
Or sometimes what happens is you take shelter of a Diksha Guru, you take initiation, but that Guru may not be easily accessible as another shiksha who would be more available to answer your questions, for example.
那我们举个例子吧，就是说有的时候会这样，你接受了一位启迪灵性导师给你的启迪，但是这个灵性导师他可能离你很远，或者说呢，你没有办法有什么问题就马上就从他那里找到，就是得到答案，或者他很忙碌什么的。那么你这个时候可能会去托庇于一位训士灵性导师，因为这个训士灵性导师你更容易接近，然后你有一些问题能够更快的、更全面的得到解答或者是回应。
I know one guru, I'm not going to mention his name.
我知道有这么一个灵性导师，这个 guru, 但是我不提他的名字。
He has maybe 200 or 300 disciples.
他大约有两三百个门徒。
He has 15,000 shiksha disciples.
但是他有15,000位训士门徒。
In other words, those shiksha disciples are initiated by other gurus, but he makes himself available to answer their questions, and they like it.
就是说，这一万五千位训士门徒呢，他们都是其他灵性导师的启迪门徒，但是呢，这一位训士孤儒却敞开自己去就是去解答这么多的训士门徒的一些提问，或者是帮助他们的这个灵性的进步。就是这种情况是存在的。So, Vara Dashvara, 请接受我谦卑的顶拜。奉献者对经典非常精通，但时刻都想着 Krishna, 不念16圈是使徒传习吗？ Some devotees are very, very versed in the scriptures. Mm. Always think about Krishna, but they don't chant 16 rounds. Is it, are they connected to the parampara?
No.
如果是这种情况，他一定没有跟使徒传系连接。
This is the next point that also Rupa Goswami mentions. What is the point of knowing Shastra inside out if you're not surrendered?
那Rupa Goswami其实在下一点下面，他就会讲到，就是说，如果一个人他对于经典啊倒背如流，极其的精通，但是他却不皈依，那有什么意义呢？ Okay, that's it. 热爱生命，顶拜guru，顶拜翻译。如果一个人在修习 Krishna 之觉中挣钱，为了 Krishna， 为了更好的生活，让自己的生活经济独立，有能力做各种服务，做生意达到了废寝忘食的地步，但只要吃饭时还能想着 Krishna， 不忘 Krishna， 这样子的修习会有什么样的结果？顶拜guru的莲花足。 So if one devotee during the process of practice Krishna consciousness, he considers he's making money as a means to do service, to render service to Krishna for a betterment of life, to gain financial independence for himself or herself so that he can have the capability to do all sorts of the service. And he does the business to the extent that he even forgets about eating and sleeping. But as long as he eats, he would think about Krishna, not forgetting Krishna. What will be the result of this kind of spiritual practice? Thank you very much.
It's dangerous.
这样的一种休息方式是非常危险的。
It's dangerous because if we are not mature enough or experienced enough, not just materially but spiritually, we're going to get carried away.
那就是说，如果这个人他不仅仅是从物质的方面，还是从灵性的方面，他都是不够成熟的，也是经验不足的。那他有这样的一种生活方式的话，很容易就被裹挟进去了，就被带走了。
I mean, this is an important point because if you look at the devotees in ISKCON in general, I'm not talking China, but internationally.
那我们如果从一个全球化的这个视角来看一下，遍布全世界的我们的这个奉献者，国际的这个大家庭。
They have two priorities.
他们有两个最重要的事情。
One is their family.
第一个就是他们的家庭。
And the other is their devotional life.
第二个就是他们的奉爱生活。
And they will make money just enough so they are not in anxiety, so they can practice Krishna consciousness and maintain their families.
他们就是只要把钱挣得足够多，以至于他们就是没有这方面挣钱养家糊口这方面的过多的这种焦虑，然后他没有太多的焦虑，同时又能够很好的维系家庭，在这个前提之下，他就能够 更轻松地去修习 Krishna 直觉，做奉献服务，这样就可以了。Sometimes
you have devotees who, for a certain number of time or years, they just concentrate on making a lot of money, and then once this is done, they go back to full devotional life, and they don't have to worry about money anymore.
But they never give up their sadhana.
Their sadhana is very, very, very small. It's a risky business.
就是还有一些奉献者，他们是采取了这样的一种生活方式。他们一年呢，他们有这么一段时间，就是100%的投入到工作当中。然后他们的sadhana和他们的奉献服务呢，就是这个时候肯定就是降低到非常小的这个部分，就是起码维持的这样的一个部分。然后他们挣足了钱之后，他一年其他的这个时间就完全拿来 投入到奉献服务当中，他们想做的所有的这些奉献服务，都是会倾尽全力。所以他们是这样在时间上去安排他们的生活、工作和服务的。You
know, they manage to buy a house, they manage to buy a car, they pay for their kids' education.
他们这样子呢，可以想办法就是买下他们要住的房子，还有用的车，然后给孩子们的这个教育储备出足够的资金。
But Every time you, I tell you, I have seen this so many times. Every time you hear devotees talking about a specific business scam that is going to make huge money, every time it collapses.
嗯，就是我可以告诉你，就是说，经常我们在奉献者的群里面，听到，有什么挣钱的那个机会啊。For example, direct sales, something, right?
Yeah.
像那种直销啊。
Multi-level marketing.
啊，这种直销啊，曾经有过的这种传销啊，凡是在奉献者当中传播了，说通过这个呢，就可以轻松的挣到足够的钱。但是呢，每一个都是以失败告终的。到目前为止，没有一个成功的。
I know devotees in America who got into this business, real estate business. These are going to be big, big money. All they have is one house, and they managed to take prasadam.
嗯，然后也曾经有过在这个美国、北美，他们那个有奉献者，有疯传那个，就是做这个房地产生意。但是最后的结果是什么？这个奉献者最多也就是最后留下了一栋房子，然后能够荣耀prasadam，就是养家糊口而已吧。
Now, the new thing in ISKCON is because devotees love talking, so now the big thing for making money is to be a counselor.
嗯，现在在这个 that may work. You know?
It works.
Yeah. 就是说，现在在这个 ISKCON 现在很时兴的一个新的这个比较大的那个受欢迎的产业，就是因为奉献者都喜欢说话。所以说呢，就是这个做心理医生啊，这个咨询师啊，这种顾问啊什么的，就非常的风行了。
And for example, I know in India there are some devotees, initiated devotees, who are by profession multimillionaires, but they always have a Brahmana devotee coach.To make sure that they balance their lives.
在印度我们看到过有这样的情况，有的奉献者他就是已经是这个千万富翁了，但是他就是始终身边有这么一个婆罗门型的奉献者，一直在他的生活当中不断的在就是指导着他啊，就是他每行一步的话都会有人指导，这样子的一种方式。
So this is one thing in India. Many devotees.There are many devotees who are multimillionaires in India.
其实在印度有很多的奉献者呢，都是这个千万富翁了。
And they take initiation.
他们启迪了。
They continue their business.
然后继续做他们的生意。
They have a temple at home.
在家里面呢，还有一个庙。
But they take time. I mean, Indians are expert to take time to have programs with devotees in their homes. They give huge donation for building temple.They give huge donation for distribution of prasadam. They give huge donation for festivals.
那就是奉献，就是在印度的奉献者有这样的一个特点。很多的这种奉献者呢，他们都会把自己的家贡献出来，举办奉献者的联谊活动。然后，因为他们也比较有钱，他们把钱呢，就是就捐给这个庙宇去建设这个庙宇，或者是派发这个 prasadam， 或者是派发。书或者是这种大的节日上面，他们就是大笔的捐款。
And it's a very common sight in India that sadhus, just like the Buddhist monk, they go from place to place to beg from the. In India, you'll have brahmacharis going into a big office building, and the CEO of the company will have time to receive the brahmachari to hear from Bhagavad Gita.
That's the tradition.
Yes, but the point is.They take the time. They know how to take the time.
就是在印度有这样的一个传统啊，就像是我们知道的那个出家人，他们就是化缘一样的。就是在印度的这些 brahmachari， 他们也是花时间到那种大的公司里面写字楼里面敲开人家公司的门，然后呢，这个公司的这种 CEO 居然还能特意的拿出时间来接待这个普普通通的 brahmachari， 然后去聆听他去讲博家梵歌。但是这里的关键的问题是说，他们能够很好的去利用那一段见面的时间。Not only the brahmachari, but also the CEO take advantage of the time.
Of course,
不管是这个 brahmachari 还是这个。CEO 他们都能够非常好的去利用他们见面交流的这个时间，让它变得真正的有价值。
You know, every year in December, the Indian devotees distribute millions of Prabhupada's books.
每年的这个十二月份马拉松的时候，在印度的这个奉献者们，他们的派书量都达到这个百万千万那样。
How do you think they sell them?
数百万啊！那你想他们这些书都是怎么派出去的呀
？They go to these big company directors.
他们就专门去找那些公司的大老板。
They say, Mr. So and So, so how many books will you order this year?
他们就会说那个某某先生，今年您会订多少书呀
？Okay, I'll buy 50,000 Bhagavad Gita.
好吧，那我就买五万本《国家梵歌》吧。yes.
People, they know Krishna has given me this wealth. It's not my money. It's Krishna's money.
因为人们就是这些印度人，他们是知道的，我所有的这些钱都是 Krishna 给我的，这不是我私人的钱，是 Krishna 的钱。
And the Chinese wealthy people do exactly the same.
而现在在中国的这些非常有钱的人，他们也是做的同样的事情。
They give to the Buddhist monk. They give millions to the Buddhist monk.
他们给那些那个佛教的高僧啊、上师啊，捐起钱来也都是这么上百万的这样捐。想问的 Priya Mataji， 感恩老师精彩的讲课。目前在马拉布有一位圣恩 Srila Prabhupada 的门徒和我的 Guru 的门徒一起为中国奉献者组织了两周一次的活着的圣殿博加瓦坛讲课，主题是邀请目前圣恩 Prabhupada 在世的门徒讲述他们与圣恩 Prabhupada 的逍遥时光。甘露真的很多，但是发现中国奉献者并不是很感兴趣，参与者并不多。请问应该如何更好的安排这一节目，才能引起更多中国奉献者愿意聆听圣恩帕帕的逍遥时光呢？那这个邀请的是来自于全世界各地的圣恩帕帕的在世门徒，很多都没有来过中国，大家大都不认识。Thank you very much for your wonderful class. Right now, there is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada and also another disciple of my Guru Maharaj. Jointly, they organized a class called Living Srimad Bhagavatam. It's once 2 weeks, quarterly. And the theme is to invite the existing gurus right now in the world, all over the world, Srila Prabhupada disciples to talk about their pastime with Srila Prabhupada. It's full of nectar. However, we found that the Chinese devotees are not very interested. The participants are not that many. Can you give us some suggestion how we can organize this programs in a better way so that more and more Chinese devotees can be attracted into this hearing of the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada? We invited the Srila Prabhupada disciples all over the world. Some of them have never been to China. Maybe that's why, because devotees don't know about them.
Well, this program every 2 weeks is in English, so you need translators.
Of course they have. 这个是一个英文的讲课，所以呢，两周一次的这英文的讲课，就是肯定是要有翻译去翻译它。
But Yamuna Priya understands English.
Yeah.
So she can participate.
Of course she participated. Otherwise.
But I mean the Chinese devotees could not participate because unless you have a translator.
No. Of course the translator is there.
Oh,
but
there is
devotees
one.
Are not very attracted to participate in
this.
对，就是说这个就是奉献者们呢，翻译肯定是有，只是说奉献者参与的比较少。对吧？Yes.
Well,
so how to organize in a better way? I think the explanation.
I think one
many,
way.
Many courses, so they just.
Yeah, I think there's also, yeah, that's true. There's too many courses, too many classes for the Chinese devotees.
可能现在这个时间也是一个因素，就是因为现在正好这一段时间，这个中国奉献者能听到的课太多了，然后他们的 guru 啊，这个纷纷都在疫情期间有各种各样的系列课程，所以说呢，实际上就是稀释掉了。
And it would be good, for example, to invite some of these senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada to actually directly address the Chinese devotees. to organize for them to come online, like on YY, like we do here. Then before they had Malati.
They are addressing Chinese, but this program is organized for Chinese.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, well, that's unfortunate.
But how can we adjust these programs? One thing is promotion, I guess, also.
It's not just, yeah, promotion, but also the Chinese leaders should push it more.
我觉得这个 就是来上他不说呢，就是一方面可能就是你在这个课程的宣传方面的话，可能还要加一点力度。另外一个就是中国的领导者这些奉献者们，应当去提醒大家的注意去聆听这个。And also their gurus should.
Yes, their gurus should encourage. Them,
还有一个就是说，
the gurus don't even know this is going on.
还有就是说中国奉献者的这些 guru 们应当鼓励大家去聆听，比如说 guru 训示大家了这个课很重要，一定要去聆听，而且 guru 本人也参与到这个活着的圣典博迦瓦坛里去讲课，那可能这个效果就完全不一样了。OK， 最后一个问题来自于刘传华，那这最后一个了我们就不回答了，已经有两个小时了。刘传华问，请祭司做祭事和大家在一起加帕奇一样的效果吗？If we invite the pujaris or the priests to do the sacrifice, does that have the same effect as the power for group japa?
What's the japa sacrifice with japa? What's the connection?
这两个之间的有什么样的关系？ Because devotees think that doing sacrifice, invite a priest to do a fire yagya is very powerful. But on the other hand, devotees can sit together to do japa. What about the comparison between these two spiritual strengths of power, energy, whatever?
I think this fire yagya is way overrated.
就是说，我觉得就是这个火祭，这种祭祀，请祭祀来做这种火祭祀，可能就是说。大家是太高估了，
It's not because there's a fire yagya that suddenly everybody is just becoming a pure devotee.
并不是说这么一个火祭，做完了之后，在场的人就一下子都变成纯粹奉献者了。
Fire yagya is a ritual.
火祭呢，它是一个仪式。
That brings about auspiciousness because we are in the presence of Lord Vishnu in the form of the fire.
那火祭的这个目的呢，是因为当祭火点燃的时候，这个主 Vishnu 他是以祭火的形象就是临在，所以说呢，这样的一个火祭是为了带来吉祥的。
But rightly said, if you have devotees sitting in a room chanting japa for 2 hours together, that's a powerful yagya.
其实呢，就是如果大家真的是能够坐在一起 japa 两个小时的话，那这种 japa 祭祀是非常非常有力量的。
Not that the yagya is not powerful, but believe me, chanting Hare Krishna together, that's powerful because this is the yuga dharma.
我并不是说做火祭就没有什么力量，而是说。大家在一起加排的这个灵性的力量肯定是非常大的，因为在我们这个年代，卡利年代的年代，宗教就 Yuga Dharma， 就是加排，就是这个唱诵主的圣名，念诵主的圣名。
Fire yagya is not as important as chanting。
所以说呢，这个火祭没有大家这个念诵或者唱诵来的灵性的效力大。
Okay.
Okay. 好。
Okay, so we finish now.
我们今天的课呢就讲到这儿。
Thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you for the great questions today.
感谢大家今天问的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai,
Kasha Desh Yatra Ki Jai.Go Premanande Haribo.
百坤的知音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的 Chaitanya 经就讲到这里结束。我们今天呢讲到的是《玛迦丽拉中篇逍遥》的第22章的第118个诗节。我们下周同一时间再见 ，Hare Krishna。